I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. It's been a while since we've seen and heard so much about Russia all at once. We have the Sochi Olympics to thank for a lot of that, but also the current tension between Moscow and Washington. That's not to say there are no areas where Russia and the U.S. share common ground, but it's a far cry from the famous reset President Obama wanted back in 2009. One of the big thinkers behind that reset was current U.S. Ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul. He's getting ready to leave his post after 2 years in Moscow. From his residence in the Russian capital, McFaul told me that Washington's relations with Moscow are bound to be contradictory.
That would be the theme, I think, of our relationship with Russia as I'm about to leave, that amidst difficult arguments over the transition in Syria, deterioration of democracy and human rights in Russia, the banning of adoptions for American parents, you have that in one category. And right next to it, you have continuity of cooperation on issues like Iran, North Korea, Afghanistan, trade and investment issues. And that's the nature of the relationship. It's not one way or the other. It's not black and white. Some cooperation, some disagreement.
Earlier this week, Ambassador, you charged the Kremlin with wiretapping your phone calls. I'm just wondering, is that any different, do you think, than what the NSA does?
Well, what happens? I'm the ambassador to Russia, right? So my issues are to deal with the bilateral relationship, and therefore, as we warn in every travel advisory to people coming to this country, you should assume no privacy, and I most certainly don't here as somebody that they might have a lot of interest in. That's their system.
With your Twitter feed, it's quite an interesting approach to diplomatic communications. You have started to blur the lines between the public and the personal. I'm just wondering, what do you think your pretty active Twitter feed accomplished?
Before I got to Russia, I'd never seen a tweet ever. I was brand new to this world. I was encouraged by Secretary Clinton and her advisors on this digital diplomacy to dive in, be active, especially in a country like Russia, where it's a huge country, difficult to go and meet 60,000 people like I have following me. I can't meet 60,000 people in a year, probably, around the country. This gives me a chance to communicate directly to them. And my 14,000 Facebook friends, by the way. The purpose of trying to create interest in me and in our country and in our administration was to give us a chance to explain directly to the Russian people what our policy is and what our country is all about. And why we need to do it directly is because on some media channels here, especially television that are close to the government, we can't do that through those channels. I personally never have told my team here, we're not trying to convince people that we're right, or we're not trying to convince people to like us more. I think that's a big misconception. We're trying to get the facts across about who we are as a country and what our policies are vis-a-vis Russia.
It's pretty clear that the Russian establishment considered you a provocateur of sorts from early on when you arrived there. Along with the Twitter feed and these kind of innovative ways of getting the message across, do you think that perception kind of boxed you into a corner?
Well, they most certainly wanted to do that. I think you're correct in that, and portray me as some unusual person sent here to foment revolution, which was, obviously a ridiculous claim. I would note the irony that the first meeting I had with the Russian opposition leaders was actually not organized by me, but it was organized on behalf of the Deputy Secretary of State, one of the most experienced diplomats we have in our government. I had nothing to do with that. But that said, it is our policy as a government that we meet with the Russian government and we meet with society. They don't have an interest in us doing that, of course. They want to portray what we're doing in a certain way. And for me to have the ability to communicate and meet directly with Russian people, that doesn't serve their interest. I understand that. I perfectly understand their strategy. I don't lament it. I think we have, over time, been effective in getting our message across.
What's the one thing about Russia you really would not have predicted going in 2 years ago?
The thing that is striking to me is the paradox that I experience almost on a weekly basis, but I just experienced it down in Sochi, which is that on the one hand, there is this rhetoric about how evil we are and how we're doing all these nasty things around the world. And from time to time, it's been about me personally. And yet, when I was walking around down in the Olympic Park, number one, lots of people know who I am. I did not expect to be known in the way that I am. And number two, especially of the young volunteers that were down there, and you've probably seen them on television in their really colorful jackets, they all want photographs of me. They all want autographs with me. Mm. That says something, I think, about their schizophrenic way of thinking about our country. Because on the one hand, there's this official piece, and on the other hand, there's this pure, genuine respect, I would even say affinity and curiosity from the Russian people about the United States of America.
And yet for many Russians, it seems, at least polls that I've seen, they seem to support Putin and what he has on the agenda.
And that's the contradiction that I think is important for people to understand, that you can be a supporter of President Putin, and there's no doubt about it, he is a very popular leader here in Russia, and also want to have your autograph with the American ambassador, I mean your photo with the American ambassador. That may seem like a contradiction to us. It is not to many people here in Russia.
Ambassador, your expertise in Russia was pretty deep before you arrived. How did you fall in love with Russia in the first place, and what are you going to miss most?
Well, I was attracted to Russia as a kid in high school in Montana for political reasons. It was a tense time. It was the Cold War. And I had a simple belief that if we just could communicate better, understand each other, that would reduce tensions. And so as a young kid, I went to Stanford as an undergraduate, and my first trip abroad ever in my life was to the Soviet Union in 1983, motivated by that very idealistic idea. And in some ways, I still believe that. I mean, I know more, obviously, but I do think more communication, more information between our two countries does reduce tensions, and it won't mean that we'll agree on everything. But at least the disagreements we have will be based on facts and not based on misperceptions or untruths, right? And in many ways, that's exactly what I've been doing here for the last 2 years. What I'll miss, I will miss the intensity of individual relationships that I have with Russian colleagues and Russian friends. That day-to-day experience of talking about serious stuff, using your mind, but also not being afraid to bring your emotions into it. That's something I deeply admire among my Russian friends, and I'll miss that for sure.
Well, if you miss it too much, I hear the class struggle is really heating up in San Francisco, so you won't be too far away.
Okay.
U.S. Ambassador to Russia Michael McFaul will step down from his post later this month. He joined us from Moscow. Great to speak with you again. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.